Okay, we'll start this Mishnah. There's two parts to the Mishnah. There's the Yom Tov part, and then there's the Kiddush HaChodesh. The Kiddush HaChodesh and Mitzvah Hashem we'll do next week. The Mishnah starts off with this Kiddush HaChodesh concept of Ibor. We know that there are months that are Maleim and Chaserim, between 29 and 30 days. So the Mishnah says, Ein Poichsin, you don't have less than Arba Chadoshim HaMeuborim Bashona. So we'll see in the Gemara there's going to be a Machlekes. Whether whether this Mishnah is talking about only Chaserim and Maleim or something else, it'll be a Machlekes HaMeuborim. But the simple reading of the Mishnah is, Ein poichsin me'arbo chadoshim ha'mu'borim b'shona. You must have at least 4 full months, 4 malayim in a year. V'loi nira yoyser al shmoina. And it didn't appear, so the way the Gemara reads that, it didn't appear for the Chachamim to ever make more than 8 full months. Again, we'll see in the Gemara the whole calculation, why that is. Shtei alechem. Somebody have a battery there, an extra battery? 9 volt? Okay, now we're going to flip over to Hilchos Yom Tov. The halacha is that you only allowed to be oifem avashal on Yom Tov. It's for human consumption. Which this is a machlekes in the Gemara, if you could be mechal Yom Tov also for korbanos. Of course, the chayvus hayom you could bring on Yom Tov. That's like any, like Shabbos. But as far as bringing the dom and the dovas on Yom Tov, there's machlekes in the Gemara, machlekes tanoim, machlekes at a paskin. If you're allowed to bring korbanos on Yom Tov that are not l'tzorich odom. So the Mishnah basically is saying over here, that the Shtei Alechem, since they were a korban, so therefore they're limited. You can't be Mechal Shabbos or Yom Tov, obviously, to bake them. So Shtei Alechem in Echolim Pochas Mishnayim. You're never going to eat the Shtei Alechem less than 2 days old, meaning the day that you bake it and the next day. So it's always baked Erev Shavuos. And if Shabbos precedes that, it was baked on Friday. So you're not going to eat the Shtei Alechem until Sunday, which is the third day to its baking. And this is what we're going to deal with. What L'chor the Shtei Alechem was totally for human consumption. Shtei Alechem was only used, was Nechal HaKoyen. So L'chor it should be Mutah. Or at the very least, it should be equivalent to a Shlomim. Which is Shalmei Simcha, you're allowed to bring on Yom Tov. So that's what we're going to deal with here. But that is what it says. Lo Yosef HaShloisha. Lechem Aponim is Ein Nechal Pochos Mites. Never eaten less than 9 days old because it's not Doicha Shabbos. And it sat on the table for the whole week. So obviously it was put onto the table on Shabbos. It was baked Friday. And it was eaten on Shabbos, so obviously the minimum is going to be 9 days, including the day of baking and the day of eating. V'lo yoyser al acharasov, and never more than 11 days. Because the most that would come out is that there was a Yom Tov shechol yoyser of Shabbos. So you have to bake it on Wednesday. So then it's eaten on 11 days later. Again, we'll have a similar problem with the Lechem Aponim, but that's much less of a problem. Because since the Lechem Aponim is not eaten on the day of Afiyah, so there it's much less of a problem. Because there, technically, it's going to be Oifeh Miyom Tov L'Chol. So that's a different issue. See, the Shtei Alechem should have an intrinsic Heta, because you're making it for Yom Tov. You're eating it on Yom Tov. So the Shtei Alechem should be allowed to be baked on Yom Tov. The Lechem Aponim is always in advance. The reason why I'm saying over there, it's also not Poshet, is because we know today we rely on an Erev Tavshilin, the Chacham were Mesakin an Erev Tavshilin. Erev Tavshilin permits us to cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos. How does it do that? L'chayra, to cook from Yom Tov for the Choyal. Somebody would go ahead and bake something from Yom Tov to Choyal, or cook, that would be an Issa D'Raisa, Chayv Malkus. Right? There's no Heter. It's like you're cooking on the Mechal Yom Tov. So L'chayra, the Erev Tavshilin, can't get rid of a D'Raisa. It's a Takana D'Rabon on Erev Tavshilin. So how does it get rid of the D'Raisa? So the Teretz is that you must say that the Erev Tavshilin is already dealing with something which already has a Heter D'Raisa built into it, an intrinsic Heter D'Raisa. And in the Gemara, that's based on one of two svaras. Either it's based on the fact that there's a concept called hoyel, and hoyel basically means that since it's roy to be eaten for that day itself, meaning when I'm baking on Friday, cooking on Friday, I can eat the food today. So that alone makes it midaraisa permitted. Midaraisa, the fact that it's roy to eat today, and if the need would arise, if my needs would all of a sudden blossom and I would need more, so I would use the food today, so midaraisa, that's good enough. So midarabanan, we rely on the Erev Tavshilin to make it mutal l'chatchila. That's one approach. And the other approach is that sochei Shabbos nasa b'yom tov, which basically means on a deraisa level, you can cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos. It's only midrabanan that you can't cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos. And since it's only midrabanan you can't cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos, so the Erev Tavshilin gets rid of that rabbanan. According to that opinion, logic would dictate that making the lechem aponim would be mutar midaraisa. Because lechem aponim, although it's not going to be eaten the day of the cooking, the baking, but it's going to be eaten on Shabbos. It's exclusively meant to give out on Shabbos. The chalukah was on Shabbos. So therefore, logic would dictate that it should be permitted. And then you could already say, ein shvus b'migdash, you could come up with other svaras, that it should be mutar. But still in all, the Mishnah Paskins, you're not allowed to do it. Actually, many are unaware of this, that because one of the reasons why you're allowed to cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos with an Erev Tavshilin is hoyel, you're really supposed to have the food ready on Friday. A lot of people are not aware of this. They put up a chant, let's say, at the last minute. Really, you're not supposed to do it that way. Because then you're only relying on the fact of Tzorchei Shabbos Nasa B'Yom Tov, which is not universally accepted. But that's the Heter. So really, you're supposed to, and that's why we discussed this in the past, you see, we always have this every year, we're making an early Shabbos. The Mishnah Berurah says a great chap. He says that normally you're not supposed to bring in Yom Tov Sheni early. But the Mishnah Berurah says that if Yom Tov Sheni is Shabbos, then there'll be an inyan to bring it in early. Why? Because it's basically using the same line of reasoning. The reason why you're not supposed to bring Yom Tov in early normally is because you may be making me Yom Tov l'chavre. You're putting yourself at risk. Right? I'm making an early Yom Tov, so there'll be a risk of me baking or cooking from Yom Tov Rishon for Yom Tov Shein. Obviously, if Yom Tov is coming in later, that risk is less. It's lowered. That's the reason why you're not allowed to do it. You shouldn't. You're not allowed. You're allowed to bring in Yom Tov Shein early. You're not supposed to. Says the Mishnah Berurah, but where you're relying on an Erev Tavshilin, so the earlier you prepare the food, the better it is. Adarabba. So there, the same logic is the opposite. The hachana gets progressively better the earlier you do it. So there, he says, there would be an inyan to make it early. For that reason. It's mamish the same svara, but lehefach. But the Mishnah Lamaisa ignores the possibility of the bread being allowed to be baked on Yom Tov. The Mishnah says, sakina charif, it's awesome. And we'll see why. Ein koto nimo pochois miches. V'lo yoyser al shnei mosar. A koton is not allowed to have a bris, cannot have a bris, less than 8 days old. That's the first time it's when he becomes mechuyev. Now the shigri delishna of the Mishnah sounds like it wouldn't work. It would be ineffective. This happens to be a machlokes rishonim. Some rishonim hold that if you will do a bris, kodem zmane, it's kosher. Machloik is between the Rosh and the other Rishonim, whether if you do a bris early, you do a bris on the seventh day, if it's kosher, but the Evet. Or do you need to do Atavas Dam bris, b'shmini? In other words, if you had a Goyish Moyo, The halacha would be you have to do another bris. What happens if you do the bris on day 7 or day 6? So the machlokes rishonim, if the bris is kosher. The Rosh paskens that it's kosher. So the Shach has many questions on the Rosh. One of them is, why is it Teichah Shabbos then? If a bris is kosher, b'shvi or b'shishi, it should be Teichah Shabbos. The Gemara says in Menachos l'gabi the Omer, that if you're able to cut the Omer before Yom Tov, it's not the cutting of the Omer is not Teichah Yom Tov, because it's Efshel Asayis Emer of Yom Tov. So the Shach questions the Rosh, how could the Rosh hold that a bris before the Zman is kosher? You don't have to be matav tam bris. Actually, there are more paskins like this Rosh. There are more paskins that if a kid gets a bris early, does not need to have hatovas dam. But another question they ask is from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah seems to say that a katan less than 8 days old is not a kosher bris. Seems to say that. And you could dray, and the Mishnah is only talking about l'chatchila, but by the evidence, it's a kosher bris. But the lashon of the Mishnah sounds like it's a nimal, it's not that it won't be halal. So they use this Mishnah also as a problem. The Shagas Aryeh has also a brilliant kasha on the Rosh Hashita. He brings a kemat raya, not like the Rosh. Because the Gemara says that if somebody made a mistake, and they took, let's say, a 9-day-old baby, which is not Deicha Shabbos, that's this whole Mishnah here, that in other words, only Mila B'Shmini is Deicha Shabbos. Mila B'Tshi is not Deicha Shabbos. So the Mishnah says, but if you mistakenly did that, if you did a mila of a 9-day-old baby on Shabbos, the Mishnah says that you're potter from a chatas, because you made a mistake. You were told by dvar mitzvah. You made a mistake and you did a mitzvah, you're potter from a chatas. So the Shagas, but the Mishnah says, but if mistakenly you did the 7-day-old baby on Shabbos, in other words, the Sunday baby, the bris that was awaiting a Sunday bris, you did it on Shabbos, then you chayev a chatas. So the Shagas Aryeh says, what's the whole Gemara struggle? According to the Rosh, it's always us a mitzvah. Doesn't matter how old the baby is, you did a mitzvah. If the baby is 6 days old, 7 days, it's a mitzvah. So I always had a simple approach to answer all these kashas and this would answer our Mishnah as well. I think it's very poshut. And that is that when we talk about a bris koidem zmanai, so definitely the simple way to understand the Rosh is that although the Torah gave us a mitzvah to do the bris on the 8th day, but a bris on the 7th day is also a bris. It's just shaloi bezmanai. It's like you do a bris on the 9th day, 10th day. The 8th day is the first time you're supposed to do the bris. But it's shaloi bezmanai if you do it early. It's shaloi bezmanai if you do it late. Shaloi bezmanai, but it's a regular bris. So I wanted to suggest that that's not the pshat. I'll bring you a simple raya. The Ramah paskins like the Rosh that a bris koidem zmanai is kosher. You don't have to do a tofas dam bris. You don't have to do anything. The 8th day comes, you don't have to do anything. The same Ramah, that's the beginning of Hilchos Milah. The same Ramah, 2 simanim later, Reish Samach Gimel, he says that if a goy did the bris koidem zmanai, it's also okay. He says if you have a child that, medically speaking, has to have a bris done prematurely, the Ramah says you don't have to be medactic to find a Jewish moil. A goy could do it too. So the Vilna Goyen on the Ramah, the Vilna Goyen says, v'zeh d'loy k'moy shekosav b'simil reish samach aleph. Vilna Goyen feels that it's inconsistent because the Ramah who holds that a bris koidem zmanai is kosher, like the Rosh, you should absolutely find a kosher moil. But the Ramah says, no, you're not medactic. If the kid needs a bris early, medically, just you can have anybody do it. But I'm saying, if it's a kosher mila, then you should need, that's where I'm heading. So what I wanted to say was, that we could really analyze and question what is the Rosh Hashita. Is the Rosh Hashita that it's a kosher bris? Definitely that's the traditional way of looking at it. And clearly that's the way the Shach is looking at it. And that's the way the Shagas Aryeh is looking. That's why they're asking on the Rosh that if it doesn't work. I want to say there's another way to look at it. And that is, perhaps, a child, the 8th day is not just a day when you're supposed to do the bris. The eighth day is when the Ola gets created. In other words, even though the child physically came out with Ola, but it isn't Ola until the eighth day. The eighth day comes, now it's Orla. Till the eighth day, it's a piece of skin. So in a sense, the kid before the eighth day is not an Orla. He's a Tinuk. He's a Tinuk that's not a mole and not an Orla. He's like an Akeva. What's an Akeva when they're born? Nishkin mole and Nishkin Orla. It's a Tinuk. And actually, the Gemara in Yevamos, in Perek Orla, has a Shaila. If you have a Kohen infant, less than 8 days old, can you smear his body with truma? Because an oral can't use truma. That's the crux to the shaila of the Gemara. How do we look at a baby before 8 days old? Do we look at him like he has ola, it's just not the zman to remove it? Or do we look at it like it's not ola? And the Yerushalmi in Yevamos is poshut the shaila. And the Yerushalmi says, oral cotton, mutter l'seichai b'shemen shel truma. That means the Yerushalmi is Peshet. That Orla before the Zman is not Orla. So what is it? It's nothing. So basically a boy before less than 8 days old has not yet been born L'gabi Hilchas Mila. He wasn't born yet. The Nafkamina is, once you have Orla, the only kosher way to remove it is through a bris. But until you're an Orla, it doesn't matter how the Orla gets removed. It's irrelevant. It's not, you never become an Orla. When Orla is about to be Chal, there's nothing there to be Chal on. So I believe that's the Machlokes Rishon. The Rosh holds that Orla Kodem Zman is not Orla, based on the Yerushalmi. And therefore the Rosh holds that if you did the bris early, you don't have to do anything, because the kid, like David said, the kid is born Mol. He's not born Mol. But L'gabi Hilchas Mila, he's born Mol. He's born Mol. And therefore, you know, there's nothing to do. Every Neulad Mol doesn't need a bris. The only reason today why we do our toughest damn bris on a Neulad Mol is we're chayish lo'ola kvusha. We're worried maybe the skin is there, the skin that's not visible. But obviously, if you took off the Ola before, the potential Ola, you don't have to worry about Ola kvusha. You took it off. What would have turned into Ola was removed. So you're basically left with a Neulad mole without the concern that maybe there's Ola here that we don't see. So there's no reason. So the Rosh says there's no reason. So now all the kashas are answered from the Rosh. You're asking, the Shach is asking, according to the Rosh, why is it Deiche Shabbos? Why is it Deiche Shabbos? It's Deiche Shabbos because if I would do it before Shabbos, it wouldn't be a mitzvah. It's not like Efshel Aseis in the Erev. It would be a way of, it's a bypass road. If I do it before Shabbos, I never had the mitzvah. There's no din that I have to bypass the mitzvah. Efshel asoyse means if I have a way to do the mitzvah, it's not doyche Shabbos. There's no inyan to bypass the mitzvah. I shouldn't have a mitzvah. That answers also why you chayev a chatas if you do baby of day 7 on Shabbos. Because the fact is it was not also mitzvah. You didn't do a mitzvah when you cut off the olah. That's why you chayev a chatas. It answers the Shagas Arias kash. And it also answers our Mishnah. A bris cannot take place before 8 days. That's not a bris. What it is a bypass road. It's a way for the kid to be born, but ain't kato nimo pochas mishmoina. That's not a bris mila. It's just a bypass. It's a way that he never needed it. That's heavenly stuff. That's not for here. That's not to be discussed. That's basic vomister. That's not a bris. Do you ever make a brach on such a bris? It's a Kabbalistic thing. You're asking from, you know. Anyway, so Zok the Mishnah ain't caught nimo pochas miches v'lo yoser al shnei moso. And not more, never more than 12 days. Meaning, if you have a child, obviously, a child that's born ben Hashmashas is going to have the biggest problem because we don't really have a bona fide Yom HaShmini. The child was born ben Hashmashas. We don't know when the Shmini is. So if he's born Friday ben Hashmashas, the earliest you're going to have the bris is on day 10, right? Because maybe day 9 was Shabbos, And if it's day 9, you can't be doyich Shabbos. So you have to do it on day 10. Day 10 just means maybe it's day 10. It doesn't mean for sure day 10. It may just be day 9. Could be Shabbos was the 8th day. So when the Mishnah here says, and then when the Mishnah says, for lo yisal shnei masa, obviously means if you have Yom Tov for Shoshana, then it's an extra day. Now here, there's also a vikuach. Why dafka Rosh Hashanah? See, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, the last line of the Mishnah, v'imcholu shnei yomim tovim shel Rosh Hashanah, achar oisei Shabbos. So again, the baby was born Friday, ben Hashemashis. You can't do the bris Friday because it may be day 7, maybe day 8. You can't do the bris Shabbos because it may be 8, maybe 9. You can't do the bris Sunday because Shalom is clearly at least day 10, day 9, maybe day 10. You can't do the bris on Monday because it's Shalom B'Zmanai for sure. And so mainly you're doing the bris on Tuesday, which is, so Rashi says, Yom Tov Sheni Shel Rosh Hashanah. So the Noda Behuda wants to prove from this Rashi that Rashi obviously holds like the Rambam. The Rambam holds that you're allowed to do a bris Shalom B'Zmanai on Yom Tov Sheni. This Mamish Legel Aloch. You have a baby that's a Shalom B'Zmanai, and it comes out Yom Tov Sheni. That when the baby is able to get a bris, the baby is roy for a bris on Yom Tov Sheni. So the Rosh holds you don't do the bris, because just like it's not doicha Yom Tov Teraisa, it's not doicha Yom Tov Terabonon. Obviously, the logic to say it is that the bris is a mitzvah Teraisa. So maybe loy he midu chachomim b'mokam mitzvah. It's a mitzvah Teraisa. You're procrastinating a mitzvah Teraisa. You're delaying a mitzvah Teraisa. So the Rambam holds you would do the bris. Only Yom Tov Sheni Shel Rosh Hashanah, where it's a Yom HaRichter, then you don't do the bris. But otherwise, the Rambam holds you do the bris. The Noda Behuda is Medayik from Rashi, that Rashi holds like the Shita of Rambam. Because otherwise, Rashi shouldn't have said, Shnei Yom Tovim Shel Rosh Hashanah. Yeah, I'm saying that the truth is that the it's Muchach like that. That's the question, because really this Mishnah is found in Pesachim also. And over there also it says, over there it talks about, the Mishnah brings down Yom Tov Shel Rosh Hashanah. Because Lagabi the Lechem Aponim, it has to be on Rosh Hashanah. Right? Because you can't have Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golius on, by the Beis HaMikdash, any other Yom Tov, except for Rosh Hashanah. So that would be a Svara. But that Svara, some want to rule out that Svara. They want to say that it is possible to have Yom Tov Sheni in Eretz Yisrael. Because the Gemara says in the end of Brochus that if all the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael would leave, and Eretz Yisrael would be left with the lower grade Chachamim, like when Rabbi Kiva left Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says in Brochus, Hoyu Mekadshim Chodoshim B'chutz L'Oretz. Right? So the Noda Behuda asks, could be the Noda Behuda L'Shitasa. He holds that at that time you could have Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golius in Eretz Yisrael. In other words, the Gemara is saying that if the body of the Chachomim is in Chutz La'aretz, then you Mekadosh Chodoshim in Chutz La'aretz. Then how do they find out in Eretz Yisrael? They have to do the opposite. Send Shluchim from Bovel or Africa to Eretz Yisrael. So then just like Chutz La'aretz kept Yom Tov Sheni, so Eretz Yisrael will keep Yom Tov Sheni. So in that case, you can have Lechem Aponim any Yom Tov Sheni. Doesn't have to be Dafka Rosh Hashanah. So Noda Behuda himself asked this question. Noda Behuda in Pesachim says, I don't hold that it has to be Rosh Hashanah. When the Chachamim left Eretz Yisrael, so you could have Yom Tov Sheni in Eretz Yisrael. 2 days Yom Tov. Not Dafka Rosh Hashanah. And if you take that to the next level, then you could question why is Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golius only in Chutz La'aretz? Should be in Eretz Yisrael too. Because they had the same issue. When the Chachamim were in Chutz La'aretz, they had the same issue. So, the Chasam Sofer gives a phenomenal teretz, so it really goes on Shitosei. The Chasam Sofer says that we find really two psukim that limit Eretz Yisrael to be a place of Kiddush HaChodesh. One is a pasuk that says, V'kamto v'al Yisrael ha'mokom. And that limits Eretz Yisrael to be the place where you're Mekadosh Chodosh. Then there's another pasuk, Ki mitziyah in teitzei tero, udvar Hashem b'Yerushalayim. Right? That's the second pasuk. From there, we also learn out that Kiddush HaChodesh is only in Eretz Yisrael. So the Chassam Sofer says, what do you need two pesukim for? So this is really a Marsha's question, the end of Brachas. Marsha asked this question. He says, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, I think it's Daf Tezvov, the Gemara brings the pasuk, the Kamt of Elisa Lamokam. So the Marsha says, and this is the same, the way the Chassam Sofer is going with this Marsha, the Marsha says they attack for two reasons. So long that there's a Beis HaMikdash, there's a pasuk for Kamta V'Alisa L'Amokam. The Beis HaMikdash triggers Kiddush HaChodesh to be only there by Eretz Yisrael. Once the Beis HaMikdash is Chorev, or it wasn't standing yet, then we only have the other pasuk of Kimitzion Tetzeteret V'Hashem B'Yerushalayim. There's a tremendous chiluk in halacha. The reason why when the Chachamim leave Eretz Yisrael, Yom HaKadosh Chodoshim and Chutz La'aretz, is because Kimitzion Tetzeteret, when the Torah is in Eretz Yisrael, then Yom HaKadosh Chodoshim in Eretz Yisrael. When the Torah leaves Eretz Yisrael, so Kimitzion Tetzeteret is a portable concept. It doesn't have to be Eretz Yisrael. So Rebbe Kiva was after the Churban Beis HaMikdash. So then the only reason to limit Eretz Yisrael was Kimitzion Tetzeteret. So now that he left, they did it in Chutz La'aretz. But so long that the Beis HaMikdash is standing, it wouldn't make a difference if the Torah is in Chutz La'aretz. Because there's a limitation of the Kamta of Elisa La'amokah. It has to be the Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, the Mishnah, which is talking about Lechem Aponim, the possibility of having Yom Tov Sheni in Eretz Yisrael is not shayach except for Rosh Hashanah. And this answers another question. The Tonot Ve'Elio, which was written by Elio Anovi, writes that you're not allowed to be Mekadosh Chodoshim and Chutz La'aretz, period. So they ask a stira between Elio Anovi and Rabbi Kiva. But the Tonot Ve'Elio was written by Zman Abayis. So the Tonot Ve'Elio was written when there was a Vakamt of Elisa Lamokah. There it wouldn't help if the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael would leave. Masha'enken Rabbi Kiva was after the Chum. So that would answer our Mishnah. And actually, you know, Rashi and Tzachim adds one knaif to our Mishnah. He says, to bizman lechem upon him, there was no Yom Tov Sheni in Eretz Yisrael except for this. What does he mean? After lechem upon him, it would be possible to have Yom Tov Sheni. Okay, getting to the main issue. The main issue here in the Mishnah is the afia issue, which for some reason, the Mishnah seems to hold that there's absolutely no tzad to be matter to bake the lechem upon him on Yom Tov. And this is what we were questioning, why would that be? So, we have here I had asked Olam to look up, I don't know how much of a chance you got, to look up the sugya a little bit, and psochim, but what's, and beya, what was on the Maamar Kamei, just beya? Psochim. So, we have two sugyas actually, one is in psochim and one is in beya. And for some reason, the Gemara here, when the Gemara talks about the union of the Shtei Alechem, the Gemara talks about V'she'ena doich aloyas ha-shabas v'loyas ha-yomtev. The Gemara says, Shani hosam v'omar kro lochem v'loy l'gavoya. So the Gemara says the reason why you can't make the lechem upon him on Shabbat, on yomtev, is because it's a korban. It's a concept of lochem v'loy l'gavoya. Says the Gemara, Rav Shimon Gamliel de Omar Mishum Rav Shimon ben Hasgan Doich Es Hayantif. Sovelo Kabashol de Omar Lochem Veloy Lenach. Now this is a tremendous chiddush. See, there are really three opinions. In one opinion is almost universally accepted, and then there are two opinions. To bake from Yom Tov, to bake something on Yom Tov for Goy, everybody agrees is awesome. It's nothing to talk about. Right? That's the bare minimum. To bake from Yom Tov for Choyal is obviously universally accepted. It's not for Yom Tov. But I'm talking about when you're baking for Yom Tov purposes. Right? For human consumption. So if it's for a Nochri, everybody agrees it's awesome. There's no Shiloh. Not only that, you're not allowed to invite a goy to your house on Yom Tov, Shema Yarba B'Shvila. You're not allowed to even have a goy by a meal. I get the Shaila very often, Pesach. People have relatives for the Storah, Mamol Nebuchadnezzar, have an intermarriage. If you're allowed to have a goy by the Seder for this problem. There's different issues. Some are issue of teaching. There, Moshe Feinstein wrote a tshuva that you're only not allowed to teach a goy if the kavana of your lesson is for the goy. If you're teaching a Jew and the goy happens to be there, that's not a problem. That's what Moshe Shid. You're not allowed to be Moshe Divrei Torah La'akum with the kavana for an akum. Just had this a couple of weeks ago. We had a kiddush here, Ari Rabin, which is bar mitzvah. So I didn't know this. One of the co-workers came who was actually a goy. We had a goy here. It's fortunately, unfortunately, whatever you want to say, my shir that week was on this, on the uniqueness of Am Yisrael versus the Gentiles. That was my shir. So he said, you know, he told the guy next to him afterwards, he said, I really enjoyed the speech. He said, but I felt a little uncomfortable. You know, that was the engine. That was, you know, the, but anyway, Lamaisa, as far as there being an Issa to give over Torah to a goy, Rav Moshe holds it's only if there's, but there's a different issue. The issue is Shemayarba Bishvilei. Everybody agrees that it's Issa Deraisa to cook or bake on Yom Tov for a goy. But that's the extreme. That opinion who holds that only, you're only not allowed to bake for a goy or cook for a goy, holds that you're allowed to do something just for a korban. That means you're allowed to bring a korban oil also. As long as it's not for a goy. It doesn't have to be for human consumption at all. So the whole pasuk of lochem, that you, ach asher yoseh lochem, right? The whole pasuk that permits for you to do a melacha means it has to be for, not for a human, but for a non-Gentile. So then you're allowed to bring a korban oila. That's an extreme view. Okay? That's one view. Then we have the extreme opposite view, which is lochem v'loy l'gavoya, which means that even if you're bringing a korban which will partially be eaten, but it's also going to have a chelik gavoya, it's not allowed to do it. Not allowed to bring it. That's the extreme. That's the extreme other version. But even that opinion would hold that if it's totally being consumed by you, then it would be mutter. Right? Like Shalmei Simcha L'Moshe. Then, we have a down-the-middle opinion, which is that as long as the human being will have Hanoah from it, it will be permitted. So the Gemara here in Pesachim says that what's the reason why he holds that the Shtei Alechem could be brought on Yom Tov, baked on Yom Tov, not like our Mishnah. The Gemara now goes to an extreme view. The Gemara says he holds the Omar Mishum of Shimon ben Azgan Dechi Yom Tov. Why? He holds like Abishol. That holds Lochem V'loy L'Nochrin. That's why he holds that it could be baked. Why didn't the Gemara just say he has the middle of the road opinion? As long as the human being is going to consume it, an oiler you wouldn't be allowed to bring. Notice, Abishol holds you can bring an oiler. Abishol holds you can bring anything as long as it's not for a goy. So the Gemara says that if you hold Shtei Alechem could be brought on Yom Tov, could be baked on Yom Tov, it's always brought on Yom Tov, could be baked on Yom Tov, that is in zinc. That's in sync with this opinion that holds that you could do anything on Yom Tov, as long as it's not for a goy. Why? Why is the Gemara is really taking two extremes and putting them together? We had a difficulty understanding our Mishnah. What do you mean? The Shtei Alechem is for Eichel Nefesh. The whole thing is eaten. It's not even a piece. Not even a piece goes L'Gavoya. It's totally Nechel L'Kahanim. Completely eaten. So we had an issue. L'Chayri should be allowed to bake it on Yom Tov. So L'Chayri, the opinion who says you can, is very understandable. We have to Shvitz to understand what we hold. But instead, the Gemara went and said that the opinion who holds that it could be baked on Yom Tov must hold that you can even bring a carbon oil on Yom Tov. Holds lochem v'loy l'nochrin. Why? How do we make that jump? Now clearly, what's gishmak about the Gemara in Pesachim is that the Gemara in Pesachim wants to make our Mishnah as universal as possible. We don't want to make that our Mishnah is going like the opinion who holds that you can't even bring a Shalmei Simcha on Yom Tov. That's the benefit. The benefit of the Gemara's approach, is that the Gemara is taking our Mishnah and making it, you know, the Hamon Amma hold like our Mishnah. Only Abishol, who holds that you can even bring a Korban Oila on Yom Tov, only according to him, he would disagree with our Mishnah. So we understand that part. we don't understand is what's the logic behind it. L'chaira, we should say that the shtei alechem is 1,000 times better than a korban oil. It's for human consumption. And therefore it should be permitted. And this is really what the Chazon Ish here struggles with. Chazon Ish that I had asked the Olam to look up, he struggles with this. That's the Chazanish's question. Now again, like I said, I believe that part of the motive of the Gemara and Pesachim to isolate this view is because we have a Stam Mishnah here in Erechin that the Shtei Alechem is not baked on Yom Tov. So we don't want to make the Stam Mishnah here against the opinion of the whole Shalmei Simcha Mevi'im B'Yom Tov. So we isolated this view. This view is like an extreme view of Abba Shol, who holds that you can even bring any oil on Yom Tov. So I understand the motive, but the question is, what's the logic? How does it work logically that the Shtei Alechem would be usur to bring on Yom Tov, even according to Rashbag, who holds you allowed to bring Shalmei Simcha on Yom Tov, because you eat it. So L'chaira, he should hold that the Shtei Alechem is good. So the Chazon Ish has a shtickl approach, as you can see here from what he says. Chazon Ish has an approach that perhaps there is a cheshbon. The cheshbon is okay, he's doicha. Actually, later on, he has another piece, the Chazon Ish, on this topic. And he says, maybe there's a distinction between kochim kalim and kochi kochim. He says, kochim kalim, like shalmei simcha, even though you eat it, but because you eat it, so therefore it's like your shulchan. Mashenken kochi gedoshim is like mishulchan gavoya kazach. So even though you're eating it, it's like you're eating is like a achilas mizbeach. So it's nismayet from lochem v'loy l'gavoya. Shalmei simcha, which is kachem kalam. So there, if you eat it, it's more like your food. So it's not nismayet from the posik of lochem v'loy l'gavoya. Mashenken shtei alechem, which is kachem kadoshim. That has a higher level of kedusha, and therefore it's called mishulchan gavoya. So even though you eat it, it's still not called achilas adam. It's like achilas mizbeach, and therefore that would be a problem. Similar to like a kol machatas, where we say kohanim oichlim ubaylim miskapim. It's almost like an achilas mizbeach. So that's one way of thinking. But it's really a big doichik. I mean, who cares how much kedusha is here? The bottom line is the human being is having consumption. The nafkamina, what the concept is. It's very unclear. So I wanted to suggest another mahalach here in the sugya, which would also explain the sugya in Pesachim. And I brought down an Avnei Nezer as well. I don't know if they got a chance to look it over, but the Avnei Nezer comes up with a very interesting idea, which is not accepted by most. He comes up with a novel approach. He says that the Shtei Alechem was divided by all the Kohanim. Right? The Shtei Alechem was divided by all the Kohanim. He says, Bizvochim, if you look at the Avnei Nezer and Simon Tov Yud Gimel, he starts off with the Sugyan Beya. He's Koshali, Beloizek Koshim Shtei Alechem, Shekul Nechom Lehedyat, Vendechem Yomtev. So what's going on? So he goes on to say that also left with the alechem biyomtiv the loymotu kazai is the kol koyin v'koyin. A new svara. He says perhaps the heter of oichel nefesh is only where there's going to be a kazayis. So by shalmei simcha, where the bailam eat the meat, they're going to have a kazayis. So there could be a heter. He says, but by by Shtei Alechem, which is divided to all the Kohanim, you don't have Kazayas. Since you don't have a Kazayas, there's no Heter. So there's a very novel approach of the Avnei Nezer, that in order to have a Heter of doing a Malach on Yom Tov, you need to have a Kazayas. Fascinating. That would mean, let's say somebody on Yom Tov would be in the mood of having a half a Kazayas of something. It would be a Shiloh of cooking it. Bechlal, because it's less than a Kazayas. The Heter of the Torah is only a Kazayas. So this is what this is his approach. If you look on the bottom, he uses the last paragraph of the Avnei Nezer, he uses our question as proof to his way of thinking. He says, V'raya, the lamando omar ben adom the dovas craven yesh plukter Rashim ben Allah of Abishol. And Rashim ben Allah of Savat Afka Shlomim, V'Abishol, Sayyid Afilu Oila. Right, V'anan Kamilon, we hold Afilu Shlomim. Psoch Masak Ashas, Rashim Gamliel, Domish, Telechem, Dechem, Yom Tisfil, like Abishol. The Hashti says, same question the Chazon Ish asks. Why did the Gemara isolate Rashbag to such an opinion that he holds that even an oiler could be brought on Yom Tov? Why didn't the Gemara say he holds it's like Shalmei Simcha, which is more down the middle of the road opinion? So he says, Duma Kiraj Bosvi relay, the Shlomim Kheivim relay oilers. Elevadai Lev Shimon Eloza ain't stay Alechem there from Yom Tov. It's like my reason, because it's going to be less than a Kazayas. Oh, so there's a lot of issues with this. There's a lot of issues with this Avnei Nezer. First of all, the Chiddush alone is a Chiddush Nifla. Chiddush Nifla. It's true that there is one Mishnah in Shas that throws out the concept of a Kazayas. It says that in Mesukenes, if you have an animal that's dying, you're allowed to shecht it on Yom Tov. Ubuvad sheyoychal mimenu kazayis tzui. As long as there'll be enough time to eat at least the kazayis of this animal before night. Before. See, but for that I have a simple tenet. Why does he use the term kazayis? Right? We hold not like this Avnei Nezer. For sure, let's go logical. Logically speaking, the Torah gave a heta asher yosel l'chol nefesh. You don't need dafka achila. In fact, you're allowed to do malach on Yom Tov for anything that's shovel l'chol nefesh. You're allowed to put on a fire to heat the house. Right? Technically, if there's already an existing fire and you want to light the fireplace to heat the house, you're allowed to do that too. You're not eating it at all. You're having anah. It's not the heter is not an achila heter. See, if the heter would be an achila heter, you could say there's a halacha l'moshe misina ishir, that less than a kazayas is not an achila. That's logical. But the heter to do malach on Yom Tov is not achila based. It's a tzarech echel nefesh, but tzarech nefesh based. In fact, the Birkei Yosef says an unbelievable chiddush. He says, according to the Rambam, you're allowed to light a fireplace on Yom Tov from the scratch. From scratch. Take a match, light a fireplace. He gives an interesting svara. He says, the Rambam says the iser to light a fire on Yom Tov is because it's efshel asoysim air of Yom Tov. The reason why we don't allow somebody to start a fire on Yom Tov is because a person could do that part of it before Yom Tov. They could have started the fire before Yom Tov, kept a little fire, and then just needed to extend it from there. So you really should have a little fire on the whole Yom Tov. We know that the klal of Efshel HaSoysimer of Yom Tov is only for Machshirim. For Oichel Nefesh itself, there's no din of Efshel HaSoysimer of Yom Tov. So for instance, the Mechaber Paskins, that if somebody wants to cook on Yom Tov, they can even cook something on Yom Tov which they could have cooked Erev Yom Tov and it would have tasted the same. The Ramah brings a Chumra, that if it would not mefik tam, if it would taste exactly the same, then you should wait to do it you should do it before Yom Tov. But the Mechaber, the Rambam, they all hold that if you have food that would taste perfectly the same if you cooked it before Yom Tov, you're allowed to cook it on Yom Tov. Because the whole concept of Efshel HaSoyis Me'er of Yom Tov is only machshirin. The Eichel Nefesh itself is hutra. You can do it on Yom Tov. Says the Birkei Yosef, if you're starting a fire in order to cook, that's machshirin. That's machshirin Eichel Nefesh. But if you're starting a fire to heat your body, where you're having direct anor from the fire, that's Eichel Nefesh itself. Because the body is having the direct anor. He says, therefore, according to the Rambam, it will be permitted to start a fire on Yom Tov for heat purposes. It's only also to start a fire on Yom Tov for cooking purposes. Because that's machshirim. You're starting a fire which you're going to use to cook the food which will you'll be nana from. You're not being nana directly from the fire. You're being nana from the cooked food. But if your body is going to be nana from the fire, it's permitted. What? Because there's no din oichel nefesh. It has to be you're having ana directly. That's all. So if that's the case, so it's very schwer to understand why there should be a shir kazayas. To tell me it's not called a hano, that's not the case. People have hano from less than a kazayas. There are some foods, the whole derech achil is to have a little bit. No, but I'm getting to that. I'm just saying, you're saying a new svara. The Avnei Nezer is saying that since it doesn't necessarily have a kazayas l'kol echad v'echad, the whole heter of Melechas Eichel Nefesh on Yom Tov is only if there'll be a Kazayas. And here, so what? Are the Kohanim eating it? Are the Kohanim eating it? Yes or no? They're not. Okay. Was the Shtei Alechem meant for consumption? Yes. Not only that, I'll tell you a bigger Chiddush Yidl. You have to eat it Derech Achila. If you would take the Shtei Alechem and dip it into something bitter and it would not be Derech Achila, you wouldn't be Yates. You have to eat it Derech Achila. I don't know, this to me sounds like French, what everybody's saying.
It has to be eaten. By
a human being.
Oh, but it's got nothing to do with the human being. This is what you're trying to say. A human being has to eat it, but the eating, who's eating it, how it's eating is irrelevant. It's the fact that it must be...
Shalmei Simcha also, whoever will eat it. The Bailam don't have to eat it. Let's get something straight. The Bailam don't have to eat Shalmei Simcha. Anybody can eat Shalmei Simcha. The Bailam have a right to eat the Shalmei Simcha. But anybody can eat the Shalmei Simcha. Well, why do you need a briskil din? Let's say I put in bread in my oven, and I don't want to eat bread today, but I'm baking it for anybody who wants bread today. I'm baking it for the klal. I have people coming into my house, I don't even know who they are, which I thought I have money in the house. It's for everybody. Whoever comes in can have bread. And I'll do that on your own. Is that what you're suggesting? I want to understand what you're suggesting. Anybody, right? Good, I want everybody to be able to take a little piece of this bread. Is that okay? Yeah. Okay, so what's the Shtei Alechem? The Torah said, break this bread and let all the Kohanim feast. Let them all take from it. What could never happen? So what? I have 100 people coming to my house. I'm making one challah for 100 people. I can't do that, you think? Why do I need it to be possible for a person to have a kazayas? How does the kazayas play a role? The guy wants to go next to the fire to heat his body. Is there a shear? Does he have to have hano shel pruta? It's for hano. You're going to have hano from it. So shtei alechem. There's going to be hano. In fact, Yidl, if you look at the Avnei Nezer, he says it could be you will get a kazayas. He just says it's not for sure. You may get a kazayas. Depends how many kohanim come to take. Just it's lav dafka. Very likely you won't get a kazayas. Who cares what you're going to get? But that's his chiddush, that you need to have a kazayas. If you have less than a kazayas, you should know that the Shagas Aryeh holds exactly the opposite of him. Shagas Aryeh, I brought in here a tshuva from Shagas Aryeh. Shagas Aryeh holds that he is a kasha, why can't you go ahead and cook a nevela? Help a maisa, nevela on Yom Tov. And eat a chatzi shir. According to my normal, it's chatzi shir mutter min atera. According to Rish Lakish, the chatzi shir is mutter min atera. Then with the raisa, you should be allowed to cook on the veil because you could have less than the shir. There you talk a yidl, there you can only have less than the shir. But that's what he asks. Shagasari here asks, Nevashal nevela b'yomt if yiftah. the Gemara passing that somebody cooks in a veil, he's chayev. He says, he should be put, mishum the chozi loich lepochus mikazayas. L'man the sphere lay chatzi shir mutim in atena. So you see, it's mutim. So take the afike yam, asks on the shagasayir from that mishnah that I mentioned, that sounds like the Avni Mezer, which says that a mesukenes, you can only shecht if you can eat a kazayas tzli. But really, one thing I think, one thing goes into the other. I think that the whole reason why you're allowed to shecht an animal on Yom Tov is because you're saving it from turning into an avail. Right? What's a mesukenes? It's about to die. So the whole malacha that you're really doing now is preserving the iser, that the iser nevela shouldn't happen, preserving the animal from being chala iser nevela. So there it makes sense that since the sheer nevela is a kezayis, that's the sheer that's usher, so it makes sense that if the shechit is being done to preserve the iser of nevela, so it has to be that you can eat a kezayis. So then the shechit has performed, the shechit has fully performed. If the Shechita couldn't have performed the Heter for Yom Tov, then the Shechita is also. So there I understand Kazayis. Kazayis there. Exactly, Midaraisa. Even if you hold this Asr Manatar, it's not a regular Isra, that's for sure. So in order for the Shechita to be called a Shechita that has performed fully, it has to be Matar, something which would otherwise have been Asr Al Snevela. So I understand the Mishnah there. That's why the Mishnah gives such a Shir. So I want to tell you a different idea, which would really, I mean, shed light on Melechus Yom Tov Bechlal. That's why I took advantage, really, of going to the sugi a little bit over here, because it's Meirei Naim a little bit on Hilchus Yom Tov. When we talk about what's mutter to do on Yom Tov, what's also to do on Yom Tov. So really, there are a lot of contradictions. I was learning with the boys Hilchus Yom Tov in the yeshiva. I told them we find many, many stiras. First of all, we find that sometimes you could have one melacha that's mutter and also. Okay? You can find burr. A certain type of burr is mutter, and a certain type of burr is also. So what is burr? Is it mutter on Yom Tov or also on Yom Tov? Depends. Grinding. There's a case of tavlin where you're allowed to grind spices on Yom Tov. Toichin is normally something which is also to do on Yom Tov. You're not allowed to grind wheat on Yom Tov. You're not allowed to process wheat into flour on Yom Tov. You're not allowed to do that. But yet, you're allowed to grind tavlin. You're allowed to take spices and grind it. So there's a famous Yerushalmi, which Tosis brings down in Bayan Dav Gimel, which everybody talks about, which seems to say, Milisha ve'elach is permitted. The Torah permitted any malacha from kneading and onward. Now the very simplistic way to understand the Yerushalmi is that you take out the Yelamites Malacha's book, you get the Lisha, and anything after that is permitted, and anything before that is usher. That's the understanding that the Velt has, and how to understand it. But that's not the correct understanding. There are many, many malachas that are after it, that are also. For instance, Seder. Right? Ein Sodom, there's a whole perek in Be'ah called Ein Sodom. You're not allowed to capture an animal on Yom Tov, even though it's after Lisha. There's malachas that are before, like grinding, which you're allowed to do with spices. Or Boira, which you're allowed to do. L'tzorech Eichel Nefesh. So it's not like that. So what is the Pshat of the Yerushalmi? So the Pshat of the Yerushalmi, I wanted to say, is completely different. And I brought a raya from the Rav Yoh in his Pirush in Hilchos Yom Tov. The Torah permitted Oichel Nefesh on Yom Tov. But what the Torah really permitted is what we would call Melechus Yom Tov is permitted on Yom Tov. Melechus Chol is prohibited on Yom Tov. Mevashel Miyom Tov L'Chol is Asur. How do you characterize something as being a Melechus Yom Tov? If it's something which normally is done the day of use, something which characteristically is done in advance, is not considered a Melocha Shel Hayoyim. Okay? It's called a Melocha for the future. If the normal thing is that you don't grind the wheat the day that you want to have the bread, that means the grinding of the wheat is not called today's Melocha. It's a malacha for the future. Anything from Lisha on was done for the day itself. So characteristically speaking, that's called a Melechus Yom Tov. Melechus Yom Tov is permitted on Yom Tov. Anything before Lisha is also. But grinding of spices because of the preservation of the sharpness of the spice was done right before you use the spice. So there, characteristically, it is called a melacha sayoyim. So it doesn't go by which melacha it is. It goes by the tsura of how the melacha is being performed. If the melacha is being performed as a tsura of today, I brought down a shir that Rav Shach once gave, and he uses a very nice lashon. He says, melacha seichel nefesh hutra im hu miseder hayoyim. That's the lashon Rav Shach uses in the Avi Ezri. If it's part of the Seder of the day, what does it mean part of the Seder of the day? That means this is called by nature, this is today's Melacha. And then it's permitted. That's the Yisayid. That's when it's permitted. So that's clearly the guideline of when the Melacha is Amutah. That will answer all the kashas and all the inconsistencies will be answered with this Yisayid. Has nothing to do with the Melacha. People didn't go out to capture a behemoth the day that they want to eat, they want to feast. They may shech the animal the day that they want to feast, but they wouldn't capture the animal the day they want to feast. And therefore, Tzedah is not called a melacha of today. Tzedah is called a melacha that's being done for the future. And therefore it's prohibited. And if characteristically it's considered a melacha of future, even if you decide to be Mishana Tzedah Bereshis, I'm going to do everything today. I'm going to catch it and do. So then what you're really doing is prematurely doing something which is not really designated for today. Then the malacha is mut asr. You have to do a malacha which is structurally done normally in for today. And that's the gedol leichel nefesh. Now, once we understand that, it comes out that the malacha has to at least be done something which normally is done for leichel nefesh or for tzorchei adam. The opinion who holds lochem v'loy l'gavol. So there are really three opinions. One opinion holds all we need is a malacha for today. Doesn't have to be for human being at all. Carbon you could do also, because it's today's carbon, it's a yomtiv carbon. And it's normal to bring a carbon for today. A carbon oil is brought for today. That's normal. Carbon oil is not being brought for tomorrow, it's being brought for today. No problem. Structurally, that's called a malachas yomtiv, letzerach yomtiv, pi yomtiv, mutter. The other opinion says no, it has to be lochem. Has to be that the malacha inherently is being done for you. Being done for the human being. That's why it's being done. And then there's an opinion of walls that not only does it have to be done for you, but it can't even have kedusha if it's being done for you. And that's the opinion of walls. Shalmei simcha. Even though it's being done for you, it's not enough. It has to be done. If he asks shalmei simcha, he asks it even if it's being done for you. But if it has kedusha, if it is a carbon inherently. Even though you're bringing that carbon that you should personally have a benefit, doesn't make a difference. The fact that it's a carbon overrides the fact that it's yours. So it's called a Malachas Yomtif Shel Gavoya. And even though there's Hanoas Lochem, it doesn't make a difference. The other opinion says no. Hanoas Gavoya is not Doicha. But Hanoas Odom is Doicha. It doesn't matter that conceptually this is a carbon. It doesn't matter. Now we come to Shtei Alechem. Where do we put it? Shtei Alechem. Clearly, it's a melechas hayoyim, for sure. So the opinion holds you could bring a korban oila, would definitely hold you could bring a shtei alech, bake shtei alech. No shayla. That's for sure. The question is anything, but that's an isolated view. That's Abishol. Abishol holds you could even bring an oila on yomtif, an oilas nadova. That's his view. He's the extreme. But then we have the other opinion who says you could bring shalmei simcha on yomtif. The question is, what makes shalmei simcha mutter? We hold that it has to be lochem. We hold that it has to be lochem. It could be this opinion of Rashbag holds it could be that it's a gavoya too, but there has to be lochem. So it's a very simple pshat. And this maybe now will bring to light the svaras that you are trying to say here. We find that sicha is kishtia, right? So smearing something on your body is equivalent to drinking it, right? This is where the whole controversy came in Hilchas Pesach. That if you have something that's not roi to eat, and it's not roi for achilas kelef, right? But you want to put it on your body, right? A deodorant, lamosha. There were rabbonim who held that deodorants have to be kosher for Pesach. Why? What's the line of reasoning? L'chayr, if it's not roi l'achilas kelef, right? Try to give it, any dog, even a kelef sheiter, try to give it right guard. It's not gonna be toyim from it, right? So, but since you're putting it on the goof, so it's sicha kishtia. It's like you're drinking it. And since you're drinking it, we find that even chametz that's nifsal me'achilas kelev, you're not allowed to eat. You're not allowed to consume. So some wanted to argue that anything you're putting on your body directly, that's like sicha, soap. So once it's sicha, it's equivalent to drinking it. And now me'mele it's us. Lufiani is daiti, this chumra is a chumra aza. Chumra aza ma'ayit. And the reason is very simple. When we say sicha is kishtiyah, what does that mean? Do you make a shahakal near bedvore when you take a bar of soap and rub your body? Even if let's say the bar of soap is edible, would you make a shahakal near bedvore? Be a brach levatol. Be a brach levatol. There's an opinion who holds that sicha on Yom Kippur is even an issa de rabbonah. It's a machlekes if the chamishi nuyim ad araisa de rabbonah. There is an opinion who holds them. What do you mean sicha kishtiyah? So there's a fascinating briskerov. Fascinating briskerov. The Briskerov says that we only find that you're allowed to take something which is edible and use it for sicha, something which has kedusha, is only by shmita, by shvias. But l'moshel by ma'aseh sheni, you're supposed to eat it. If it's roy to eat, you're supposed to eat it, you're not supposed to use it for a shmearing. So the Briskerov tries to analyze what's the difference. And he says a great word, the Briskerov. He says, sicha kishtiyah means that if you look at the object, okay, and you say, how did this object get consumed? How was it consumed by the human being? So we could look at sicha as an external use, right? Like you sit on a chair, right? You're not absorbing the fabric, right? You're feeling the comfort on the outside part of your body. You're not the fabric is not being absorbed into your body. When you take a cup of water, you're absorbing, your body is absorbing the water. So the Briskerov says, when we're looking at the object, and we say, well, what happened to this object? We say it got consumed by the human being, just like drinking it. So sicha is the same type of consumption like drinking. It's not a maisish to you. If you're looking at the gavra, not at the cup of water, if you're looking at the person saying, did he just do a maisish to you? The answer is no. No. If you're looking at the object, you're saying, well, how did this object get consumed? It got consumed like shtiyah. It went into his body. If you look at the Gemara's pasuk in Yuma, the Gemara brings a pasuk, v'atovoi k'shemen bi'atzmoisav. The Gemara says, minolo on the sicha k'shtiyah. The Gemara in Yuma says, how do we know sicha is k'shtiyah? The Gemara says, because it says, v'atovoi k'shemen b'kirboi. It went into him like oil. It's talking about how it got consumed in the body, not the ma'aseh shti of the person. Says the Briskerov, by ma'aseh sheni, there's a mitzvah on the Adam, v'achalto, you have to eat the ma'aseh sheni. He says, over there, sicha doesn't help you. You didn't do the mitzvah. The mitzvah is you should eat it. Right? You didn't do it. He says, shmitah is a din, l'ochla v'loy lehefzit. There's no din on any individual to eat the perishvias. There's a din that perishvias can rot. It has to be consumed. He says, there's sichas kishtia. It's a great idea. There on a deraisa level, sichas kishtia. Now therefore it's obvious why I feel by Pesach this rule doesn't apply, because the whole reason why you can't take chometz that's posel from achilas kelev and eat it is because then there's an achshavei. So you're reversing what it is. Inherently, we look at this and we say, it's not roif achilas kelev, but if you go now and eat it, so the Rosh says, now you're saying it is. We say it's not, but you, by eating it, you're saying it is. But if you're smearing it on your body, you're not saying it is. It's getting consumed, but you're not being machshiv it as an oichel or a mashke. So that's why I held that concept of sicha kishti is not applicable. Now when we come to the kol, the one opinion says, Shalmei Simcha, even though it's Lugavaya, but since it's eaten by the human being, so we link the two and we say this is called Lochem. But why is it called Lochem? The reason why it's called Lochem is because the Torah's concern was that you should eat it. It should bring you to Simcha. What's the function of a Shalmei Simcha? Kishmoy Kenu. In fact, one opinion says, ain't simcha ela b'basa shlomim. That is Simchas Yomtiv. Basar Shlomim. So the objective of the carbon is to give the lochem to the person. Therefore, he feels that that's enough to be called the link, the gavoya and the lochem together. And it's mutter to do on Yomtiv. Yeah? But if that is the objective of the Torah, then the Torah would require that there be a shear that a person should be mehena from. But here, the Torah says, you know what, we don't care. We don't care. That doesn't mean there won't be hanas adam. There may be hanas adam. But we don't care that there should be hanas adam. Because even if each kohen would take a mashu sheva mashu, it still is fulfilled its objective. That means the Torah now is looking at the bread rather than the person. By Shalmei Simcha, the Torah is looking at the person, saying, we want you to have Simchas Yomtiv. You're going to use this korban as a vehicle to bring you to Simchas Yomtiv. That's the function of this korban. Masha Enke, and I want to say in the Avnei Nezer's case, if a guy would go and want to bake a Chatzi Kezayis, 100% that would be okay. That would be mutter, because there you're creating the objective. You could create any objective you'd like. You know what? I'm creating, my objective is, like the case I gave you. I want to bake a bread for everybody who's coming into my house. So let 1,000 people, each one get a little piece of bread. Good. So what's the objective? The objective is to give people challah on Yom Tov. It's a kosher purpose on Yom Tov. You don't need a kezayis. There's no such thing as a kezayis. Here, we're trying to figure out what the Torah's objective is. Because since it's a korban, it's gavoya, now we already have to say, well, it's a gavoya which is lochem. But you can only say that if the Torah had a kapeda, that it should bring you to Simchas Yomtiv. But if the Torah bechlal did, so the Torah really just wanted that this Shtei Alechem should be consumed. That was the Pula Satera. And Varaya, the Torah didn't give a shiur like it gave by all other Achilas. So then it comes out that the objective is Lugavoya. If the objective is Lugavoya, now the reason why it's Usser is not because it's less than a Kezias. It's Gavoya. Notice, the Avnei Nezer is trying to emphasize here, it's less than a kezayis. No. The reason why it's also is because we have to figure out what is the Torah talking about. Is the Torah talking about lochem, or is the Torah talking about legavoya? So we know that when the Torah is talking about lochem, then the Torah wants it should be a shear that you can have anor from. By the fact that the Torah didn't give a shear, and made the chaluk in such a way that a kohen can get kimat nothing, right? Less than a shear t'ima, is a raya that it's like shvius. The Torah just wants it should get consumed. If that's the objective, now it's also aus legavoya. And that's why the Gemara said in Pesachim, the only way to permit it would be if you hold an oila could be brought on Yom Tov. That means if you hold a tzorach gavoya could be on Yom Tov, then you can bring Shtei Alechem also on Yom Tov. Because then we don't care about the human tachlis here at all. The korban alone is good enough of a reason to bring it. And that was the only way to make seichel out of it. Okay, we'll stop here.